Thank you, Representative Evial, and I'm back to the Codex Secretary for a few final remarks on this issue, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have already mentioned how FAO's independent external organization has pursued up till now, but I failed to mention what is happening in the future. The FAO has decided to convene an extraordinary session of FAO conference in November this year. The main theme of this extraordinary session of FAO conference is to consider the report of a committee of the conference following up on this evaluation and to decide on any further reforms the FAO needs to implement of programs or in terms of the organigram of the organization. The proposal for the reform that will be approved by the extraordinary session of the FAO conference will be implemented not in one time, but in a sequential manner to adopt to, in accordance with the in a way that it do not stop or disturb the conduct core function of the FAO. Of course, recommendations may aim at improving the efficiency, the speed, and quality of FAO's common such as documentation, translation, printing, interpretation, for which Codex is a big client within FAO. So to the extent that those programs are strengthened and efficiency improved, Codex will automatically benefit from such benefits. One final word about the budget before moving to two other sub-items under this item. I would like to mention that the Codex budget constitutes a single budget line which is presented to the FAO membership. Therefore, as far as the FAO is concerned, there is a total visibility of what amount is budgeted and actually allocated to the Codex program. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These are points I wanted to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Well, ladies and gentlemen, then we can conclude the discussions on Part B of the document. I can remain unchanged, and I take it that the issues raised by the speakers of this morning and the clarifications given by both the representatives of the parent organization and the Codex Secretary will be summarized in our report. Thank you very much. And then we can move on to the last part of our document, the alternative funding mechanisms. We can be very short on this issue, also for sake of time. I would also draw your attention to the report of the Executive Committee of last week, paragraphs 123 up to 125. Mr. Secretary, you would briefly introduce the item, please.
With great pleasure, Mr. Chairman. This is sort of a progress report of the discussion and the study, which is still going on at the level of the Executive Committee. The 29th session of the Commission, so 2 years ago, agreed to request the Secretariat to prepare a discussion paper in collaboration with FAO and WHO on the possibilities for more suitable mechanism for Codex. And if there are such mechanism, what they are. A document, Adinom 07/30/9, Addendum 1, was prepared, and it was presented to the 59th session of the Executive Committee. Basically, this document studied the existing, sort of a catalogue of existing funding mechanism of international standard-setting instruments comparable to Codex. There were three mechanisms mentioned there. One is the simply keeping the status quo to let Codex be funded the regular budgets allocation from FAO and WHO, one option. Second option was to introduce assessed contribution by the member countries. So in a way that member countries, depending on the size of one fixed figure in any UN organization to contribute, the Codex could eventually introduce that kind of semi-autonomous or semi-independent funding mechanism. That was the second option. The third option was to make that the assessed contribution, but in a completely voluntary manner, so that member countries can contribute even more to the program compared to the calculated contribution. This working paper could not be discussed fully by the 59th session of the Exec Committee, discussed more extensive matter at its 60th session. And you can find the discussion of the Exec Committee in paragraph 43 through 51 of Early Norm 08/31/3. This is the report of the 60th session of the Executive Committee. The general sentiment and feeling at this session of the Executive Committee was that, well, while there are some merits with regard to the voluntary or mandatory assessed contributions, meaning certain independence of the Codex funding, but they contain also risks, for instance, not receiving the assessed contribution from the member states. And in that case, the Codex Secretariat has to take the pain of contacting each of the member states to pay. And we also to put into place a accounting mechanism that would be independent or semi-independent from FAO. So it could imply actually additional administrative burdens, and it would not necessarily decrease the budgetary uncertainties. Therefore, there was indirect and generalized support for keeping the actual funding mechanisms for the funding of the Codex. But at the same session, Rachel mentioned the possibility for amending Article 9 of the statutes of the Commission. So that would be a fourth option, which may bring some changes in terms of the condition of Codex funding. Because during this session of the Executive Committee, it was agreed that FAO and WHO prepare a focused discussion paper to explore the eventual amendment to Article 9 and study the pros and cons of removing the exclusive reference to the regular budget, so that extra budgetary resources can be funded to the Codex Group program from the two parent organizations. At this stage, FAO and WHO are pursuing the bilateral consultations with full improvement of the legal offices of FAO and WHO because of legal implications. And the progress is being made. However, the FA and WHO were not in a position to present the requested discussion paper to the 61st session of the Executive Committee. Therefore, the 61st session of the Executive Committee simply noted that progress being made and expressed the hope that this session of the executive committee. So this is the simple progress report. And if FA and WHO representatives could add anything, that would be also welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Mr. Secretary, for introducing this item to the Commission. It is a fair representation of what happened in the several executive committees. What I would like to do now is to briefly give the floor to the representative of the Legal Council of FAO to briefly explain, because it is a matter of interpretation, Article 9, and that also should be a piece of information, and I will not give this issue for discussion to the floor, given the fact that we have more issues on our agenda. So this is purely for information. Mr. Tavares, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank you for giving me the floor, and I shall be extremely brief, but we still consider in FAO that we should we owe you a couple of words of explanation about the status of the amendment of this article. As indicated between paragraphs, from paragraphs 123 to 125, we are discussing the matter with our colleagues at WHO, and we shall make a proposal to the next session of the executive committee on this matter. But basically, and so we will come up with a solution for opening up, if we may say, the financing of the joint program to extra budgetary contributions. But I should like, so that the Commission has the full picture and full information on this matter, to say that for the time being in FAO, the situation may change, but for the time being, there is a major distinction between the regular program financed from mandatory assessed contributions and extra budgetary resources that are not financed by mandatory contributions. And we heard yesterday extensive explanations about the status of these contributions. The situation in FAO may change in the very near future, because there is a process which is aimed at having a structure of the budget in FAO which will be along the same lines as that of WHO. So we could have a situation where our budget will commingle regular contributions financed by mandatory contributions and extra budgetary contributions. Still, as regards the specific situation of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, we consider that it's important that the main secretarial functions of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, contributions from the regulatory program, in order to ensure the multilateral and universal character of Codex, because the overall Codex system benefits already from a very substantial amount of financing, bilateral financing and financing from voluntary contributions. So we believe in FAO that from a conceptual point of view, there should be a minimum core function being financed by regulatory contribution, by mandatory contributions of the regular program, in order to ensure the universal character of Codex. From a more practical point of view, a deletion of the word regular in paragraph 9 could lead to the following situation. We could have less ability to resist pressure on the part of our membership to reduce the allocation from the regular program to Codex, while at the same time we might not be receiving voluntary contributions. So we could have a situation where we would be losing on both sides. So we need to be extremely careful. We shall be able to come up with a proposal that will fly, if I may say so, and that will give satisfaction to both organizations. But we believe that we need, and we are lawyers, so we are by nature very prudent. We believe that we should deal with this matter in a proper manner. This is what, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to say, and I have no doubt that we shall be able to make a proposal in consultation with our colleagues of the FAO, of the WHO Legal Office, to come up with a proposal. Maybe there is no need to amend the Article 9. But anyway, I do not wish to anticipate. Maybe my colleague will wish also to add anything to this, to these observations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tavares. Mr. Salomon, please. The representative of the Legal Council of WHO.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add that it's very clear, I think, to all at this point that there is an interest in exploring the possibilities for increasing flexibility with respect to the funding question under Article 9. And the options in particular that we will be exploring are twofold, either to amend it, perhaps by deletion of the term regular, to provide for that flexibility which there is an interest in achieving, or perhaps to look at it through an interpretive lens to see whether there might be flexibility already there within. So we'll explore those two options. We understand the interest in preserving flexibility. We also understand the concerns about ensuring predictability. And with those principles in mind, we will prepare for you the discussion paper. Thank you.
Thank you, representative of legal counsel of WHO, also for this clarification and information. Ladies and gentlemen, as said, I will not give open here a discussion. We should take note of the introduction and the information provided by the Court Secretary and by the representatives of the legal counsels of FAO and WHO on the way they move forward in a careful analysis of this provision and the pros and cons associated with it. And we will come back to the matter. We expect that the CCXAC next year will have a full discussion on the document to be prepared by FAO-WHO, and then when the Executive Committee has had an in-depth discussion on it, we will come back to that issue at the time of our next year's session. And ladies and gentlemen, I guess that herewith we have concluded our deliberations on the budget matters related to Codex. And then I would like to ask you our final item under agenda item 9. Codex and budget is very important, but there is also a budget for Codex-related work, basically the provision of scientific advice provided by the parent organizations. That also doesn't go without resources, and I would like to have to ask you to have before you INF document 3, a report of FAO-WHO budgets for Codex-related activities in the previous biennium and in the current biennium, and it is the FAO-WHO scientific support to Codex. And I would like to give the floor to the representatives of FAO and WHO. And I take it, ladies first.
Gracias, señor. ¿Alguna ventaja debe tener ser dama en este contexto? Bien, como mencionado por el señor presidente, la información que queremos compartir con ustedes está en el documento CAC31-Info3. Y en ella estamos mostrando a ustedes el presupuesto que ambas organizaciones han destinado a las actividades de asesoría científica para este para los dos bienios que estamos en este momento discutiendo. A este respecto, quisiera referir al hecho de que la FAO proporciona exactamente la misma prioridad a las actividades de asesoría científica requeridas para el trabajo del Codex y las actividades que requieren. Esto está reflejado en la tabla número 1, en la cual estamos presentando a ustedes las contribuciones de ambas organizaciones para estos trabajos. En este año, como ustedes verán, básicamente son actividades a través de JECFA, JEMBRA, JEMPIAR y algunos otros temas. Y en la columna de otros, ustedes podrán identificar a qué otras actividades prioritarias se han destinado estos fondos en este periodo. Quisiera resaltar que en el caso particular de la FAO, también en este año, se ha hecho un esfuerzo importante para llevar a la práctica la iniciativa mundial en pro del asesoramiento científico relativo a la alimentación, GIPSA, cuyo principal objetivo es la movilización de fondos extrapresupuestales para asegurar que la creciente demanda de asesoría técnica del CODES sea atendida de manera eficiente y oportuna. A este respecto, quisiéramos expresar públicamente nuestro agradecimiento, por ejemplo, a Australia, cuya contribución financiera y de un staff member nos ha permitido avanzar en el tema de implicaciones del uso de nanotecnología en el sector agrícola en la inocuidad de los alimentos y a Japón y Tailandia por el apoyo, primero financiero, en el segundo caso ayudándonos en la organización de un evento científico sobre la evaluación de riesgos en hojas verdes y hierbas verdes. Yo quisiera insistir en un punto particular, que es el hecho de la importancia que tiene para la FAO y para la OMS los criterios de priorización que ustedes han señalado a nosotros para determinar, dentro de toda la demanda de asesoría científica que ustedes deciden tener en esta sesión, cuáles son las prioridades que ustedes otorgan, cuáles son los criterios que tenemos que utilizarlos. A este momento, la FAO y la OMS ha permitido de una manera más eficiente satisfacer las necesidades hasta el momento. Gracias.
Thank you, Representative of FEO, and then the Representative of WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have the documents in front of you. You can see the costs there. The costs that are referred to there do not include the cost of staff. So the cost of the scientific advice is really not very comparable to the cost of the Codex system running. We will be able to provide you with the full budgetary figures, including staff costs, if that should be needed, and that's also mentioned in the outcome of the CC exec of last week. We think it is important to be fully transparent in the total amount being solicited for scientific advice, and we believe that it's extremely important that the scientific advice and the general Codex activities in some way are aligned, because we cannot work in Codex without the scientific advice. Maybe also to mention that there is an increased need for scientific advice perceived by member states and by Codex, and we are moving continuously into new areas. Microbiological risk assessment some years ago, biotechnology, and now also more strongly into the area of nutrition in relation to scientific advice, and you will also be able to see that in the table. Mentioning some of the countries that have helped with extra budgetary funds, I think we also have to mention that the USA and Ireland has also supported, and we also get support from other countries in different ways in relation to this. And if we did not get that extra budgetary support, it would be impossible to provide the scientific advice that Codex has to work based upon. Just to mention within brackets that actually the total WHO budget is now 75% covered by extra budgetary funding and only 25% from regular budget, which is one of the reasons why it's very important for us to be able to use extra budgetary funds when member states want to do new things or want to increase budgets. Major part of our budget is extra budgetary, and therefore we have to take that into consideration. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Schlund, for this information. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has also been discussed in the last session of the Executive Committee. The relevant paragraphs are 117 up to and included 121. In summary, of course, this is an independent budget, independent from Codex, but closely linked with it, and as has been mentioned by the representatives of the parent organizations, this is extremely important, particularly in those areas of Codex where we touch upon health issues. Codex cannot operate without the timely advice from the parent organizations on scientific matters. So we should acknowledge the good work done, encourage FEO and WSO to move on with this work, and here we have some flexibility on matters as contributions from the regular budget, but also through extra budgetary fundings, and basically what we have said under the previous item on Codex matters. On one hand, we should here say, yes, well done, and please go on and allocate sufficient budget to this program. But again, this should be also included when, as member states, we raise our voice on the relevance of Codex and Codex-related work in the governing bodies. I invite the floor, if there are a few comments, but only a few, please. If not, well, thank you very much. Then I take it that you also concur with the discussions and the recommendations from the Executive Committee and the way I expressed and summarized the relevance of this kind of work. And once again, we thank the colleague. On the agenda, there's a specific item on the provision of scientific advice, and it will give you a flavor of the work undertaken by the parent organizations. Ladies and gentlemen, then we will move on quickly to the strategic planning of the Codex Alimentarius. Last year, we have endorsed the strategic plan 2008-2013. Has been in the meantime print published and printed in the several languages of Codex in a very nice layout. I take it that you know this particular booklet. We should have before us our working document is Alinorm 08/31/9b. The strategic planning of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. This has also been discussed at length in the Executive Committee of last week, and I draw your attention to the relevant paragraphs in that report, which is under the heading Strategic Planning of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, paragraphs 126 up to and included paragraph 141. The structure of the working document in front of us, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have an annex, annex 1, with all the activities under the five goals, and in annex 2 there are notes by the secretariat, and you have the relevant recommendations from the Executive Committee. We should realize this is the first year that we work with this new strategic plan. Several activities are ongoing. Other activities have just been started or are still waited to be started. So what I would like to ask is, I guess, to ask Noreni. Noriko, our colleague from the Codex Secretariat, to very briefly introduce Annex 1, goal by goal, just pointing to the highlights, not going into the details. And, ladies and gentlemen, then we will also look into the recommendations of the Executive Committee, and hopefully we can, without much discussion, note the progress made on the different issues and endorse the recommendations by the Executive Committee. And then I give now the floor to Noriko, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for this agenda item, as Chairperson already mentioned, we have to look at two documents. First, the Annex 1, which is in the Alinorm 08-31-9b, and also relevant paragraph in the Executive Committee report. So under Goal 1, the activity from Activity 1.1 to 1.5, which is related to the ongoing activity in Codex to review and develop Codex standards and related text. And those are already discussed by the Executive Committees under critical review as well as under relevant agenda items in this present Commission sessions. And then decision and progress has already been made. So I move to the activity 1.6, which is with regard to the issues on the exploration of innovative risk management framework. This activity also has been already addressed under item 8, which discussed the new work proposals, which had been forwarded from the relevant committees mentioned in this annex. So I move to the next activity, activity 1.7, which is with regard to encouragement of FAO, encourage FAO and WHO to expand capacity building programs. This item will be discussed under agenda item 15 of the Commission. So, Mr. Chairman, I highlight the activity 1.8 under goal 1. The issues is the regarding the publishment and dissemination of the Codex Alimentarius. And then, as described in paragraph 113 of the 61st session of the Executive Committee, the Executive Committee agreed to recommend that Codex Contact Point enhance their capacity to communicate with and disseminate Codex-related information to interested parties at the national level. I will stop now. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Noriko. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the introduction to Goal 1. I guess that we can take note of the progress and would invite you to endorse the recommendation on activity 1.8, as indicated in paragraph 130, to recommend that Codex contact points enhance their capacity to communicate with and disseminate Codex-related information to interested parties at the international level. And I take it that that is acceptable. Let us quickly move on with goal 2. The promoting the widest and consistent application of scientific principles and risk analysis. Noriko, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson. Under Goal 2, I first refer to activities 2.1, 2.2, and 2.3. These activities are discussed by the 61st session of the Executive Committee, and this activity is to conduct review the consistency of risk analysis principles elaborated by the Codex relevant committees. In fact, as indicated in Annex 1, Codex Committee on Nutrition, CCNFSDU and CCFH has not completed the development of risk analysis policies. So, considering this situation, the 61st session of the committee, executive committee, agreed to recommend that the 25th session of the Committee on General Principles that would meet in April 2009 initiate Activity 2.1, consider this matter and agree on the timeline of work and steps to follow to complete the review. And with regard to Activity 2.2, once Activity 2.1 is completed, the Activity 2.2 will start. And activity 2.3, which is regarding the enhancement of communication among relevant Codex subsidiary bodies and FAO and WHO scientific expert bodies, this activity is ongoing, and the review of this activity will be undertaken in the implementation of activity 2.2. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Noriko, for introducing Goal 2. Ladies and gentlemen, please continue that you also briefly introduce the other activities so that we can deal with Goal 2 en bloc, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I stopped at that point, but I will continue. The next activity under Goal 2 is Activity 2.4, which is regarding the review of the set of criteria recommended to FAO and WHO for prioritization of requests from Codex for scientific advice. This issue was discussed by the Executive Committee and also addressed at the current session of the Commission. And the point was confirmed, as mentioned in paragraph 132 of the 61st session of the Executive Committee. The committee noted the view of FAO and WHO that current criteria recommended by the 55th session of the Executive Committee was useful. I move to the next activity, 2.5. This activity will be discussed under agenda item 15. So at this moment, we will not have to address these activities. The next one is activity 2.6, encourage FAO and WHO to provide training and capacity building on risk analysis for food safety. This also will be discussed under agenda item 15. I will stop now. Thank you.
Thank you, Enrico. Well, ladies and gentlemen, back to activity 2.1.2. I guess that indeed these risk analysis principles are very important. A few years ago, we have asked the relevant committees to elaborate committee-specific risk analysis principles. And first of all, I guess as Commission, we should urge the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Food for Special Dietary Users and the Codex Committee Food Hygiene to finalize their committee-specific risk analysis policies documents at earliest opportunity, so that now then we have a complete set of these committee-specific documents. And following also the discussion last week in the Executive Committee that we should ask the next session of the Codex Committee on General Principles to put this issue on the agenda and to start their work as indicated in this activity. Also understanding that activity 2.2 cannot start only after the completion of the work in activity 2.1. And relative to activity 2.4, we should note that our parent organizations are satisfied with the criteria and that they use these criteria in setting priorities for the provision of scientific advice, and that there is no need to revise these criteria at this stage. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically, I would propose that we urge these two committees to finalize the documents, that we request the general principles to start their review, and that we take note of the fact that the criteria elaborated previously are still relevant. This is my summary on the goal 2, and I hope you are fine with that and that you can support the recommendations and conclusions. That seems to be the case. Thank you very much. Then we move on with goal 3. Noriko, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So under goal 3, the first activity 3.1, is a review the criteria for the establishment of work priorities and procedures of the critical review carried out by the Executive Committee. The 61st session of the Executive Committee considered this activity in particular on how to initiate a review of the criteria for the establishment of the work priority and the procedures of the critical review. And then, as mentioned in paragraph 133 of the Executive Committee report, the committee agreed that it was premature to make concrete proposals on how to initiate review on these criteria and procedures. Revisit the matter after the Executive Committee had gained more experience in the conduct of the critical review. So the next activities, 3.2, regarding ensure effective standard management. this activity is ongoing and has been already undertaken by the Executive Committee under its critical review as well as by the Commission session under relevant session, relevant items. Activity 3.3, 3.4, and 3.5, which are related among them, and these three activities were considered by the Executive Committee as indicated in paragraph 134 of the report. The Executive Committee noted that a development of some committee-specific criteria had not been completed, and some other criteria were under revision. So, therefore, activity could not start at this moment. The committee agreed to recommend that relevant subsidiary bodies be encouraged to finalize the relevant work as early as possible. Activity 3.4 would be able to start it once activity 3.3 was completed. 3.4 will be followed by activity 3.5. And I move to activity 3.6. This activity will be discussed under agenda item 15. So I move to the next activity, 3.7. which is regarding the evaluation of the capacity of Codex Secretariat to perform its function effectively. This issue was discussed by the 65th Executive Committee under item 11 as a business. The relevant paragraph in the Executive Committee report is the paragraph 168 to 172. Executive Committee did not make any decision, however, just consider a proposal from prepared by the Secretariat and provided the comment and view for further consideration and implementation of these activities. So next, activity 3.8. will be discussed on the agenda item 15 this week. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Noriko. Let's say then, summarizing goal 3. The review, the criteria for the establishment of work priorities. We should note, let's say, the discussion we had last week in the Executive Committee, and that it was premature to undertake this activity, and we should first gain more experience in implementing and using these criteria at the Executive Committee's level. So we should take note of that observation. Regarding item 3.3, the committee's specific decision-making and priority-setting criteria, highly important issue, also in the light of what we discussed yesterday, working on new proposals for work. So we should encourage all relevant committees currently undertaking the establishment of committee-specific decision-making and priority-setting criteria, or revising them, to urge them to finalize them at the earliest opportunity. And to start to use these criteria. And indeed, only when 3.3 activity is finalized, then activities 3.4 and 3.5 can be started. So indeed, you see here the list of all the relevant committees working on these decision and making criteria and priority setting criteria, and there's still work to be done, and we encourage the relevant committees to do so. Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, I touched upon that one. And indeed, as indicated, there is 3.7, to evaluate the capacity of the Codex Secretariat to perform its function effectively. has indicated that the idea is to hire a consultant to undertake this activity, and we discussed that in the executive committee. You see the outcome of it in paragraphs 168 to 172. It was a good discussion and good input. It is not for us to decide or agree upon the terms of reference. That is ultimately, I guess, for the parent organizations in cooperation with the Codex Secretary. But it was relevant input, and it will be used in the finalization of the terms of reference and the selection of a candidate. I noticed.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina comparte plenamente la necesidad de que el Codex trabaje de una manera eficaz y asimismo consideramos que el examen crítico que realiza el Comité Ejecutivo es un elemento fundamental para poder llevar adelante esta tarea. Y coincidimos con usted respecto de que hay que profundizar todos los aspectos de manera que ese examen crítico se haga de manera más rigurosa. Sin embargo, tenemos una observación de carácter general y quisiéramos que quede constancia en actas respecto de una cuestión que tiene que ver con los plazos para la finalización de las tareas. En los últimos años hemos visto que, en términos generales, se le fijan a la elaboración de nuevos proyectos un plazo de 4 años para que sean concluidos. Y la realidad es que la única forma de llevar adelante esta tarea es con la realización de grupos de... Esto es lo que nos parece que no es realista o que, en todo caso, no se pone blanco sobre negro algo que termina siendo un problema y muy serio para los países en desarrollo. Creemos que como parte de ese examen crítico que debe realizar el Comité Ejecutivo...
Una cosa con otra. Saldrían primero los criterios para los distintos comités en asignación de prioridades y después del 2011 recién estarían los criterios generales que se estarían generando por el Comité Ejecutivo o el Comité de Principios Generales específicamente. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, delegation Chile, Brazil, please.
Gracias, presidente. En aras de brevedad, ma delegación, no quisiera repetir los argumentos muy bien expuestos por la colega de Argentina, con los cuales mi delegación se une totalmente. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, delegation of Brazil. There are no further flags. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the proliferation of fiscal working groups, as I indeed correctly remembered, this has also been recognized last year, and I guess also with the explanation of the Codex Secretary, responsible committees should handle this with care and allowing for full participation and also transparency of the process. We have here at the head table some consultation following the statement made by Chile on the possibility of a level of inconsistency here in the strategic planning. But we are so flexible, we can deal with it, I guess, in the real life. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, there are similar... or similar-looking activities listed under Goal 3, so we need to be very careful in the reading of these items and in understanding how one activity may flow into or lead to another one. With regard to, first, the work... between the relation between activity 3.3 and 3.4, the idea that was, I suppose, behind the Commission decision to adopt this strategic plan would have been that activity 3.3, through the activity 3.3, we encourage each of the subsidiary bodies to put in place a built-in priority mechanism within the committee. Within the committee, and if the committee has already those kind of criteria for prioritization, revisit them, whether there can be more improvements given to them. And the idea was to learn lessons from the activity 3.3, and if there are any good suggestions that can be applied to other committees, we can do so through activity 3.4, so that some committees can learn from the experience from other committees in this work management process. Of course, 3.4 goes beyond the prioritization of new work, because it also talks about the facilitation of advancement of texts. However, it would seem logical that 3.4 will start after activity 3.3. In relation to activity 3.1, of course, there are some indirect link between activity 3.1 and 3.3. These two activities are basically independent ones. One can start before the other. And 3.1 is basically meant to look at the criteria for establishment work priorities that are included and published in the procedural manual. Of course, CCGP have spent a lot of time on this issue over the past years, and the current text does represent the best work and consensus of the Codex membership. However, it is up to the Executive Committee to look at these criteria, because Executive Committee is the main committee that exercises, in addition to individual committees, the critical review function to review, analyze, and recommend the Commission on the desirability to start new work on each of the proposals. Therefore, if the Executive Committee feels that improvements can be done, then Executive Committee can instruct CCGP to look at the issue with the participation of the all member states. So that was the idea behind Activity 3.1, and in the view of the Secretariat, which doesn't need to be linked to Activity 3.3. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for this clarification. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to conclude our deliberations regarding Goal 3. We can take note of the explanation. We had a... Iran, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for that. I do not like to go detail the present issues, but explained by the Secretary. Just I would like to support strongly the intervention made by Argentina and supported by Brazil. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Iran. Yes, in summarizing our discussions regarding to the strategic plan activities and the issues discussed last week in the Executive Committee, I would propose that we take note of it and endorse the recommendations of the Executive Committee, and on the general issues raised by Argentina, supported by other countries, I guess we should recognize it, indeed, that there might be a potential problem, and that we call upon host countries to and committees and subsidiary bodies to move forward with caution whenever establishing a physical working group, and that the preferred working approach is preferably an electronic working group. And I guess these concerns will be reflected in the report of this session. Then we move on quickly to Goal 4. Noriko, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under Goal 4, from activities 4.1 to 4.4, I do not mention the detail of those activities, but those activities are related to the promotion of cooperation between Codex and other relevant international organizations, and those issues will be discussed under item 13. I move to activity 4.5, the activities regarding promotion of interdisciplinary coordination at the national and regional level. The executive committee discussed these activities and made the recommendations as indicated in the paragraph 136 of the executive committee report. The committee agreed to recommend that the forthcoming coordinating committees that would meet this year or next year review current status on the basis of replies to the questionnaires sent to, that has been already sent to Codex members and observers, and identify possible actions to be taken with a view to promoting interdisciplinary coordination and communication at national and regional level, and report of those report on these issues discussed to be discussed by the regional committees would report to the 32nd session of the Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Noriko. Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully this can be a quick one. Goal 4. Most items are ongoing and will be discussed later on our agenda. And the specific issue is activity 4.5, as indicated by Noriko, has been discussed last week in the Executive Committee, and there is a positive recommendation to deal with the matter in the forthcoming sessions of the Regional Coordinating Committees, and I take it that you can endorse this recommendation. Thank you very much. Noriko, goal 5, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under goal 5, first activity 5.1, regarding promotion of enhanced participation of developing countries in Codex, this matter will be discussed under agenda item 14. So next activity 5.2, the promote effective use of written comments in the Codex process. The executive committee discussed these activities, and the Codex Secretariat informed to the committee that the Codex Secretariat in the initial step to prepare a questionnaire to chairpersons and host countries of subsidiary bodies in order to collect baseline data and information on the use of written comments in the Codex process. In order to reduce workload of Codex host governments that were involved in other activities, for example, activity 5.3 this year, activity 5.2 would most probably take place during the second half of 2009, and the progress report would become available in 2010. This point was noted by the executive committee. The next activity, 5.3, regarding evaluation of effectiveness of Codex committee sessions held in developing countries. The committee, executive committee, noted that the Codex Secretariat is now in the process to start collecting a wide range of information on the experience gained from holding Codex sessions in developing countries, and also information, not only the information, but also data on attendance of member governments in this session would be collected. And progress report will be presented to the 62nd session of the Executive Committee and 32nd session of the Commission. This information was noted by the Executive Committee. Activity 5.4, regarding strengthened codex contact points and national codex committees. The committee considered these activities and agreed to recommend that the forthcoming coordinating committees review the operation and activity of the codex contact points and national codex committees. And also the regional coordinating committees should discuss the ways to strengthen their functions and the discussion to be held by them be report back to the 62nd session of the Executive Committee for consideration. The next activity 5.5 regarding enhancement of participation of non-governmental organizations at international, regional, and national levels. Executive committees discussed these activities and agreed to recommend that the forthcoming coordinating committees review the current status and should identify any additional measures to be taken by the governments and other parties to enhance participation of non-governmental organizations. And those reports would be sent back to, submitted to the 32nd session of the Commission. The last activity regarding enhancement of communication about Codex work at international and national levels, this issue will be discussed under Agenda Item 9. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Noriko. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is an overview on the activities and progress under Goal 5. As indicated, indeed, we had a discussion last week, and what I would propose to the Commission is that we take note of the progress made and that we endorse the recommendations made by the Executive Committee regarding items 5.2, 5.3, 5.4 and 5.5, and work is to be done by coordinating committees. Colombia, please.